Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a while. Happy Easter to you, as we are still celebrating the octave of Easter, and we're coming upon Mercy Sunday. And so if you're interested in finding out more about Mercy Sunday and what's that about, and also how we came about with the sacrament of confession, why we confess to a priest, well, it's all tied in with this weekend, the readings that we have from the gospel and also from the readings from the Mass. And so let's start off our program by giving glory to our Father by saying the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Again, happy Easter to all of you, and I hope you had a great Easter. We sure did in our family. We got to take part in the Triduum and also have a wonderful Easter vigil. It's the vigil of vigils, is what I was told there from our great pastor, Father Bellapiti. We went to the Saturday evening vigil. You know, of course, that's where you have also people in the RCIA who were, baptized and confirmed and got to receive the Eucharist. And so it was great. And so it was the vigil, according to St. Augustine. And we also had a very special experience for this Triduum, where our pastor, we had when we had communion, we were able to have the option of having communion at the railing. And so we were able to either kneel down and receive the Eucharist on our tongue or in our hand, or if those who couldn't kneel, they could stand. But it was such a great response. Most everybody that I could see was able to go to the altar railing and receive. And even in one of the masses that I was there, there was also Ad Orientem. It was just really amazing to experience that. And so just a beautiful, beautiful liturgy. And so I just want to thank our pastor for doing that, and all the priests who were involved, Father Ray Chabala. And I'm looking forward for this coming weekend for the Divine Mercy Sunday. I'll actually be speaking in the local community for Our Lady's Missionaries of the Eucharist, and I'll be the main speaker there talking about Divine Mercy. And so I'll be getting into that today with the readings in the gospel. And as you know, the custom that I've been starting with this year is going over some quotes from a book that I find very special called The Wisdom of the Saints, called 365 Days of Inspiration. And it's from Matthew Kelly's apostolate called dynamiccatholic.com. And their tagline is Be Bold and Be Catholic. I just love this this book because, again, it shows various days with a quote for each day and from various saints. And so what I want to do is just pick out a few from this past week that goes through this coming Mercy Sunday. So let me go back to April 10th, where this is from a quote from St. Vincent de Paul, and it's about reading. And I'm going to share this and then contrast it from another saint of what he thinks about the same topic. Anyway, so here's a quote from St. Vincent de Paul for April 10th. It says, read some chapter of a devout book. God speaks to you when you read. And so those are some really good words. We know in Scripture it says faith comes by hearing, but back then they didn't have access like we do. We're so fortunate to have various ways of media and having the books at hand. And so it's true that God speaks to us when we read, when we have Scripture as well. And so you can, when we have Scripture, it's it's amazing. It's God's word written in black and white through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and manifested through the evangelist and how we receive this and we get faith from it. And so here's another saint who is named Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, and he talks about God's creation. And this is for April 15th. And he contrasts what St. Vincent says about reading a book, okay? And he says, you shall find a fuller satisfaction in the woods than in books. The trees and rocks will teach you what you cannot hear from the masters. Again, St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, you shall find a fuller satisfaction in the woods than in books. The trees and the rocks will teach you what you cannot hear from the masters. Now, remember, St. Bernard, he was alive before the printing press, where St. Vincent de Paul, he was alive after the printing press. So although they seem to contradict each other, it just goes to show you different strokes for different folks. Those who aren't book readers can still experience the love and mercy and the truth and the wonder and the awesomeness of God by being in nature, whether you take a walk in the woods, or like my family, for one of my kids' birthdays, they went out went to an arboretum, and they were just enjoying nature there and the flowers and the trees and all. And, you know, you can get so much more than in books. And even though my family, they're book readers like me, they still love being outdoors. And with that said, I'll also give a shout out to my own son, who's his birthday today, and my son Aaron. He's turned 16, and so here it is. We have either way of learning about God through hearing, through books, and through just nature. All right, let me continue with a few other quotes before we get into the readings for this coming Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, here's something also strange quote. This is from St. Thomas Aquinas. It's regarding work, and it's a short and simple one. It says, without work, it is impossible to have fun. Now, that may seem really strange. Like, what? How in the world? I mean, we can have fun without working, right? Well, you think about it. If you're going to have fun, if you're going to go, let's say, watch the Phillies, right? Look what all the work that has to be done by the Phillies. They lose some games right now, but they still need to practice, right? And what about all the people there at the stadium? They have to get their act together, from the security, from the people, the concierge, and concessionary stands, and the ticket holders, and all the people that are working in the stadium. That's work for us to have fun. Right. And also just takes work for us to prepare if we're going to go down there and spend all those hours. So in the sense of that, Thomas Aquinas is right. Without work, it is impossible to have fun. Also looking at it, too, it's like, well, you also can't enjoy oneself if you don't necessarily have some of the money to do so. Not that we're all dependent on money, like we just said earlier. You can just walk in the park for free, essentially. Right. You can just walk around your neighborhood or go sit in the park, or go to the shore and see the sights there. And yes, there's beach tags and such, but what I'm saying is normally doesn't cost anything to be in nature. And so there is work involved. And yes, Thomas Aquinas is right that you can't really have the most fun, I guess, without putting some effort there, which involves work. All right, here's another one where it's a short and sweet one from St. Bridget of Sweden, and it's about justice. It's for April 14th, and it says, the source of justice is not vengeance, but charity. So, here we hear a lot in the news about things with our justice system, right, or things that are going on where stores are closing down, like my old stomping ground in California, San Francisco. They had that news there of Whole Foods. It was their flagship store in downtown on Market Street that was, I think, just opened last year. And there has been so much crime there that I believe the workers were concerned of their safety to the point where they have to close it down. I think they had either baskets or carts that were all stolen. I think they had like 250. Again, I'm just going this from my memory. I might be misquoting, but look it up for yourself on Google. But they have to close this down. And so people are wondering, well, this is not just here. Like, well, again, here, according to St. Bridget of Sweden, the source of justice is not vengeance, but charity. Charity in the sense of loving, right? Caritas, which is where we get the word charity. Most people, when they hear the word charity, they think about giving money, and that's good, donating money and being generous in that way. But also charity is love, and to show love, that's how to defeat vengeance, right? God himself says he will take vengeance on certain things, right, for like improper wages or wages withheld improperly from people, and God will take vengeance on that, or unjust or like murder, right? Those are things that God will take vengeance on. But he has the most love and the most charity, so he's not, of course, breaking his own rules. Anyway, so here's another quote I wanted to share. This is from For Today. It's about the church. Now, it's from a saint called Saint Boniface of Mainz. I've never heard of Saint Boniface of Mainz, but anyway, this is a pretty interesting quote, and here it is. It says, "The church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on her course." Again, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. Now, this reminds me of a couple of things. One is, do you guys remember the prophecy from St. John Bosco, where he has this ship which is being navigated or captained by the Pope, and it's being tossed about in the waves, but yet it's being anchored on either side by two pillars, and the pillars are one is the Eucharist and the other is Our Lady. And so it says about how the Eucharist and then also Our Lady, the help of Christians, and how it is brought to heavenly harbors to safety because, you know, it's anchored with our Lord and Our Lady, our Lord in the form of the Eucharist and also Our Lady. So this is when we pray the rosary and have different apostolates out there that help her magnify our Lord, because that's what she does, right? So this is one of the famous prophecies of St. John Bosco. And it also reminds me of a recent video. You can see it's actually from Father Mike Schmidt, how he talks about the church being like a ship and how we're not supposed to abandon, just like what St. Boniface is saying here. I don't know if Father Mike Schmidt got that from St. Boniface, but it's at the same time how he was saying how, you know, Jesus was the one who established this ship, this church, right? And that his crew was the 12 apostles, and how he wanted Peter, he made Peter the first mate, and when Jesus left, right, he ascended into heaven, he made Peter the captain. And through time, you know, after the captain and the crew were older and died, that they needed replacements, right? And then same thing, you know, the ship continued on its course. It was a really good analogy, and gets to the point where, you know, there's crew changes and there's passenger changes through time, as you see, right, up to this day. And of course, the crew and it can fight one another, and also the passengers. But the point is not to leave, right? So it's not to leave an abandoned ship, because this is where it's essentially defecting or apostatizing, right, or leaving the Catholic faith. This is what we don't want to do, because we know that Jesus is the one that established his church, and there is no other church greater than the church founded by God himself. So we should keep that in mind. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this segment of talking about the different quotes from the Wisdom of the Saints, the 365 Days of Inspiration. All right, so let's move on with the readings for this coming Divine Mercy Sunday. And this would be the second Sunday of Easter. And a little word about Divine Mercy Sunday. Many of us realize that this Divine Mercy Sunday is such a special day where it says specifically from the diary of St. Faustina. You know, St. Faustina was the first saint of the new millennium and canonized by Pope John Paul II. And it says in her diary, this is paragraph 699, that it says that the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. That's key. So this is paragraph 699 in the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska. It's called the Diary Divine Mercy in My Soul, paragraph 699. This is where we get where if we are able to go to confession and communion on Divine Mercy Sunday to go get communion. Confession can be within a certain period of time. Traditionally, it was within 8 days before or after, but since the, I think a few years ago, it was extended to 20 days before or after. And so you want to be able to do this, but have the intention of doing, of having, fulfilling these criteria. And why is this so important? It's because it says here where our Lord tells Faustina that, you know, he says to her, he says, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially poor sinners." And he goes on and says, on that day, so that would be this coming Sunday, all right? On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the font of mercy. And this is where he says, you know, the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sin and punishment. And then it says, on that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sin be as scarlet. And so it goes on further that Jesus said, my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy. And so what's important here is we're forgiven of our sins and punishment. And people may not realize when we are able to do this on Divine Mercy Sunday, have the intention of fulfilling and receiving God's mercy and having communion that day, that our soul is forgiven of sin, but also the punishment that's due to that, whether here on earth and or in purgatory. And so they would call that temporal punishment, the punishment that would be due in time, during the time on earth or during the time in purgatory, because there's an altered version of time in purgatory. And so people may wonder, well, what do you mean by that, Dr. Anton? Well, this kind of goes into, you know, when we go to confession, we are forgiven of our sins. So those of you who are familiar with how the Catholic Church administers confession, when a penitent goes in there and confesses his sin, his or her sins, and you know the number and the matter of what they do, and they're really sorry, and the priest will absolve them through the power that God gives him. And it's really God that's forgiving. The priest is the channel of those graces and the witness of the person who's showing penance or showing contrition. And then the person is given a penance to do, and their sin is forgiven. But the thing is, I think we talked about this in various other programs, a person can be forgiven of their sins, but there's still the consequence of the sin that will have to be dealt with. So I gave an example of how, you know, my son, when he mistakenly broke a window, you know, he may apologize to the person or the neighbor that he broke the window to. However, there's still the consequence of somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to repair it. So one could be forgiven, but another point is they have to pay for it. And so what Divine Mercy Sunday talks about is, or deals with, is not only we're forgiven, but the payment due to the sin is forgiven. It's remitted. And it only happens this one time of the year where we can do this. And under this criteria, okay, because there's other ways of having something similar, but it's not exactly the same. It's called what we call a plenary indulgence. I can get into that a little later, but the point here is when you go and have this intention of receiving God's mercy and that you're sorry for your sins and you go to confession within a certain amount of time, let's say 8 or 20 days, and you go to communion on this Sunday, then you're forgiven of your sins and the punishment due from it. So that means you won't have to suffer that either here on earth and or in purgatory. And you're basically like when you are baptized as a baby, your soul is that clean. And that's what's so extra special about this day. And I urge you all to make it to, you know, Mass, and also go, if possible, to, you know, one of the special events there that would happen at 2 o'clock or, you know, in preparation for the 3 o'clock Divine Hour of Mercy. All right, so let's get started here on the first readings, because we're almost at the bottom of the hour, and then we're going to take a break. But let me just read the first reading from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together in all things and had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so the things that I want to point out here in the few minutes we have before we're at the bottom of the hour to take a break is that here when they talk about the breaking of the bread, that according to a work called the Didache or the Teaching of the Twelve is really that refers to the Blessed Eucharist. So it wasn't just a regular ordinary meal that they were talking about. That's their way of saying that they were receiving the Blessed Eucharist. And it was a special way that how the early Christians referred to how they had, the sacrament and how they conducted the sacrament and distribute that as the Lord's body. And remember, the Eucharist means thanksgiving. And so what's also interesting is that it says here in this particular translation, it says every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. So they would literally have this every day. And so we're so lucky that, you know, if we have a chance to go to Mass every day, and besides just going to the our obligation of keeping the Sabbath day holy and going to Mass on the weekend, on Sunday, but then Saturday or Saturday vigil. Here you see it's, and you know, this translation says day by day. In other translations, it'll say day by day or every day. So they met together in the temple area, and because that was God's house, but they also had communion, they had the Eucharist at people's homes. So that's where they broke bread. In fact, you remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you know, that they encountered Jesus on their way, and they only recognized him in the, quote, breaking of the bread, which is another way of saying when they had the Eucharist, when Jesus was having the Mass. Right. And so here you can see that they actually had the Mass. The way it reads is it reads as if they had it every day. Also, part of historical note, like in the time of Saint Therese, you know, in the 1800s, in the 1900s late 1800s, they didn't have the Eucharist that much at all. They'd be lucky to have it, you know, on the weekends or six times on the Holy Days of Obligation. But it wasn't, they couldn't have it every day at that point. And in fact, children couldn't have the Eucharist until Pope Pius X promulgated that in the 1920s, if I understand right. So here it was just very important to see that there was also awe that came upon everyone. And that was because of the love and the mercy and the miracles that were happening and how people were converting their life and really being charitable and sharing with one another those who were in need. So this is a beautiful thing and how people would help by doing such works of mercy. And they were praising God and enjoying favor, as it says, with all the people. And more people started, were being added to their number. So it was a beautiful thing, and this is great when we're able to partake in the Eucharist. So let's take a break now, and I just wanted to give, thanks to our sponsor, Bertie O'Neill, for his financial services here for the O'Neill Finance Group in Westchester, and we thank him for sponsoring our program. Because we, without sponsors like Bernie and O'Neill Financial Group, that we wouldn't be able to be broadcasting to you as we do today. So let's take a break, and then we'll be back with continuing on with the readings.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com. www.thewordofgod.com.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, Where the Master Reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we're continuing on here with the readings for the second Sunday of Easter, also known as Divine Mercy Sunday. And we're going to get into the second reading of the Gospel and also talk about Divine Mercy, continue on that topic, but also how we came upon the sacrament of confession, because it's tied in together with the Gospel readings. So let's start with the second reading now from St. Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you by the power of God, are safeguarded through faith, to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now, for a little while, you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be proved to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't that incredible? That, especially that last part, sometimes we may not realize, you know, what the goal of our faith here. And it says, the goal, see, it says, as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So thanks be to God for the gifts of faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these are love, is love. But the goal of faith is the salvation of our soul, right? And so, how I started off the program, reading some of the quotes, I said, Scripture itself says we receive faith by hearing, by listening. So those of you who are hearing me on the radio or streaming through the internet or listening through iHeartRadio or TuneIn or Alexa or whatever way, or just directly through the internet website to you know, WTMRradio.com or in his sign network, that you can listen. But also, remember, you can receive faith through also reading books and also going in nature. But primarily, we know it's through hearing, and that's what you're doing now. Hopefully, you are listening and getting some fruit from the commentary that I'm making here. So the goal of our faith simply is the salvation of our soul. And how St. Peter, how he talks about how that the great mercy he gave us, Jesus Christ, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So remember, on Good Friday, Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins, right? He redeemed us. So now, because we could, there's no way in the world we can pay for our sins. And what about all those other people that sinned in the past, in the present, and in the future? So although he died specifically on April 3rd, 33, it's an easy way to remember, you know, 333, you know, so April 3rd, the year 33, when Jesus was 33, on Good Friday, he died, and he paid for our sins. So those people there are were redeemed, but what about the people in the past? Well, God is can go outside of time. He created it. right? He also redeemed those people from the past, from Adam on all the way to now. So also the us in the future, right now and present, and also other people in the future. He only somebody who is infinite, which is God, can do that. And he's the one that paid the price on Good Friday by undergoing the passion and death. Whereas the resurrection on Sunday, Easter Sunday, is the day that he defeated death, right? And this is what St. Peter's talking about, that God, our Father, right, he has such great mercy, and he gave us a living hope. How? Through his Son rising from the dead. And then what does that mean now? It means that there's an inheritance that we have that can never go away. It's imperishable, and it's undefiled. It can never be dirty, right, or unclean, and it won't fade away. And God is keeping this treasure for us, and he's safeguarding it for us. And how? By giving us faith. And so, and this salvation that we're going to have is going to be revealed in time. It's how he's talking to us in this reading, and that we should rejoice now. But although we're going to have to suffer a little bit, and that was very much true for the early Christians. Remember, when people were converting, you know, in thousands, there was also later on Roman persecution, right? And also look at how the apostles were in fear of their fellow Jews, right? They were hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews. I mean, again, they're Jews themselves. They're fearing, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes who put Jesus to death in league with the Romans. And so this is where St. Paul is giving encouragement that, yes, there will be suffering. But then, again, just like gold is tested in fire, we too, we're more precious than gold. We'll be tested, but then this will prove our worth, and we'll receive praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is what St. Peter is telling us here. And he actually says, and he commends us that, you know, although we haven't seen Jesus, right, that we love him, and that we don't see him, and yet we believe in him, and that we should rejoice, because when we have this, we'll be having this indescribable and glorious joy, because, again, the faith that we're given, which is a gift from God, along with hope and love, we will be able to be saved. Our souls will be saved. All right, so let's continue now with the gospel, and this comes from St. John, his beloved apostle. This is from John 20, the gospel. On the evening of that first day of the week, I'm going to stop right there. On the evening of that first day of the week, if you remember, what day is that? That's a Sunday. The Sunday is really the first day of the week, because the Sabbath is the last day of the week to Jews, and that would be Saturday. So when they say, when St. John says, on the evening of that first day of the week, St. John is making it specifically clear it was Sunday. And then he goes on and says that when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." So do you hear, you see how John makes it clear that they were hiding there for fear of their fellow Jews? They're not putting down the Jews in that sense, because they are Jews themselves, but they were scared they were going to be put to death. They locked the door, and yet Jesus was able to, in his glorified body, go through those doors, even though they were locked. And of course he says, peace, shalom, right? He says that to them because you would think that these apostles were scared of, like, wait a second, how did you get in here? We locked the door. And then, oh, no, I mean, now you're Jesus, you're here, and we deserted you. We betrayed you. So he tries to calm them down by saying shalom, by saying peace to them. And then I'm going to continue on now. It says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And, of course, when Jesus shows them that, there's no one else that had that been lanced in the side, right? Yes, the other thieves were crucified, right? But Jesus in particular had the crown of thorns and the lance in the side. This reminds me of the Shroud of Turin. And there's that 3D image that was just created. There's going to be an exhibition going around the world right now. I think it's in Spain. It's an amazing 3D, creation, but 3D model. They have a better name than I just described here. But they were able to do this because of the shroud itself emitted a 3D image, unbeknownst to them until they had modern technology to elucidate this. Anyway, so it goes here that, you know, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, because again, you would see that this truly proved that this is Jesus who they knew died, and yet he was alive and went through the doors, right? And then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Because now they were clamoring and rejoicing, right? You had to calm down, I would think. And then he says, this is so key right here. He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Now, this is huge, because at the beginning of the program, this is what I was saying, why to tune in here, is because this is where we, as Catholics, understand how God himself commissioned the apostles to be able to forgive sins, which is only exclusively can be done by God. But because God, the Father, has gave his, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're the three persons, one God. They can deputize who they want, and Jesus did this to the apostles, and so now they have the God-given power to forgive sins, and this is why we confess to a priest. And so this is very important to help our other brothers and sisters in Christ who are non-Catholics, and may wonder, well, I don't have to go to confess to a priest. Well, let's see what Jesus did. Well, this is what he did, and this was his first act after rising from the dead, his official act. So you think about, like, when someone takes office, whether it's president or governor or mayor, you look at what do they do, like, in their first 100 days, especially, like, the first day. Like, what do they do? What law do they put in, sign their name to or what have you? Well, here's the God, Jesus himself, who when he rises from the dead, his first official act is to breathe on them, just like how he breathed his breath into clay and made new life, which was Adam. And now he made new life in the church by breathing on the apostles this power, this God-given power to forgive sins. And then, and because remember, if he says, "As the Father sent me, I send you." And so this is how he was deputized by God the Father to go to mankind to save the world. And now he's passing on that power of forgiving sins to the apostles. And then notice how he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retained are retained." So this begs the question, how in the world are the apostles going to determine if they are to forgive sins or not to forgive sins? Because they can't read people's mind, right? So that means that they would have to hear the person confess out loud their sins. That's what we call auricular confession. Auricular means like through the ear. Right, so your oracle, your earlobe or your ear, and so when you hear through your oracles, through your ears, the same thing with people what the apostles who are hearing confession, that's how they can determine whether to forgive sins or not to forgive sins. So when you really think about it, this actually shows the institution of the sacrament of confession. And because Jesus did this as his first and foremost act, which was only reserved by God, but now he gave that and delegated to the apostles, that means this is the normal way of getting our sins forgiven. And this is the proof to all those other Bible-believing Christians that the normal way is to go to a priest to get confession. And so this is how the Lord set it up and how we follow it. And it's that important because he does echo the creation of Adam by breathing onto them. And this is the only two times in Scripture, from what I understand, after learning from Scott Hahn, that God breathed on something. He first breathed on clay, right, on that dirt which made Adam, and now he had a new creation on the Lord's Day. This is Easter Sunday that he is talking about here. And so he gives them, you know, the power, the apostles, the power to forgive sin. So let's continue on. The next sentence says, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So let me just stop there. This was not an accident. I'm reading the commentary from St. John of the Navarre Bible commentary, and it shows that, you know, Jesus had planned this perfectly and rightfully. He came there specifically when Thomas wasn't there. We don't know what Thomas was doing, but we know why, because, you know, we'll see here as we read on, and here's the reason why. So it goes on and says, so the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into the side, I will not believe." So he's, you know, he's a skeptic in that sense, but also he's like a scientist, right? So he wants to observe himself, to see, to feel, to touch, and with his own eyes, right? And then here it goes on. It says, now a week later. Remember how we started off and said on the evening of the first day of the week? St. John lays it out clear. This was Sunday. Now it goes on and continues. It said a week later, which is the next Sunday, meaning this coming Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, right? It says, now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, just like Easter Sunday, right? And he stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you," right? Shalom. He did the same thing again because they're going to get scared, like, "Oh, he came in the locked doors again." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." So brothers and sisters, guess who he's talking about? That'd be you and I and everybody else who wasn't there in the year 33, right? And so that if he died on, historically and also astrologically, the scientists have determined it's April 3rd was Good Friday, so this must be April 5th now, right? That those apostles who were there saw him, but what about those who weren't? We weren't there, but we are the ones that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." That's us. So we're blessed to have believed, and actually ties in with what St. Peter was saying. Remember how he said, although you have not seen him, you love him, and that even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him. You see that we love him even though we haven't seen him, and even though we don't see him, we believe in him. And God is blessing us. Jesus is blessing us. And now it continues on. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this amazing? So there's so much that Jesus did. He says that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. So this is incredible. And, you know, St. John goes into that, you know, that would that there's so much more to be said, but he doesn't write it. And so we're just so glad that we have the tradition of the church, that they're the ones who determine what scripture is, what the list of scripture that is inspired. And that list is called the canon, not like the cannonball that in the can that has a cannonball. When we use the word canon, that means a list. So it's the official list that the church has that made and determined that these particular books are scripture that came from God, inspired by the Holy Spirit to inspire men to write down the words from God. And remember, the scriptures weren't put together officially until the late 300s, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it was 393, 395, 397, somewhere around there, right? That the scriptures was officially the Bible, right? And there wasn't, remember, the Bible didn't come with an index saying this is what should be in there. So here's another tradition that we follow that is from church teaching. And so we also have to let our other brothers and sisters know non-Christians, that the Bible that they share with us actually came from the Catholic Church, because that's the church that Jesus Christ founded. And that the Bible that people use is because it's the traditions of the church, which we as Catholics received from Jesus Christ, because Jesus had commissioned the apostles and then Peter to be the pope. And that when God sends them out or says something, it's then and they say it, it's in God's name. And so here it is that there's many other things that were written. And sometimes this raises the question about other kinds of books out there. Like you may have heard of a book called the Book of Enoch, which is also quoted by St. Jude. You know, it wasn't one of the official books of canon. But then there's also, you know, these private, these other books about private revelation, right, from a saint called Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. And she and also another saint, or I think she's a venerable Maria. Forgetting her last name. Those two saints or those two people are the ones that the Passion of the Christ was based on, as far as the extra biblical accounts that Mel Gibson used. So it was Maria Greta, that's her name. And then Anne Catherine Emmerich, that they would show with detail what had happened during the time of like the of Jesus's life and, you know, the Last Supper and the crucifixion and all. And so there's so many things that have not been written, and God can choose to make that public or not public. And he made these private revelations to Mary Agreda and then also Anne Catherine Emmerich. But also, you know, there's other extra biblical books that are not part of official scripture, such as, you know, the Book of Enoch. I'm not saying, you know, that's inspired or anything like that, but there's parts of it that is quoted in St. Jude and also referred to, if I'm not mistaken, elsewhere. Anyway, so here, like I said, this gospel shows the connection of divine mercy and also the connection that the sacrament of confession was rooted on that on Easter Sunday and also continued on in the presence of St. Thomas. we may not give enough credit to St. Thomas. You know, he gets the moniker of Doubting Thomas. But, you know, he's one of the few people that actually declared who the Lord is, my Lord and my God. And some of us have that tradition of when you receive the Eucharist to say what St. Thomas said. So when you go up to communion, try to think about that if you don't have that habit. Right before you receive communion, say, my Lord and my God, and then you receive and say amen or amen. But you're doing what St. Thomas did, and he was a great apostle. He traveled to India and was martyred there. And so all, you may know Indians who, you know, from the country of India who were colonized, but also who are Catholic because of St. Thomas. And so he's a great saint that journeyed all the way there to spread the gospel and gave his life up. And this is a person that, you know, who declared that God is his Lord and his God. And that's how we should give him credit. He was scientifically minded. He wanted to see it for himself. And so this should appeal to many of us who are also scientific minded. And so that without a doubt, God had planned that someone like him, Thomas specifically, would be that example for all of those who need to see it with their own eyes and touch it with their own hands to believe. But again, Jesus said, since we weren't there and we believe in it, blessed are we. So anyway, thank you everybody for joining me today on this program. I hope you gained a lot from the readings of the scriptures and me stopping on after a few sentences here and there to explain and unpack some of the means behind it. I also hope you get to go to the Divine Mercy Sunday Mass with that intention. You have to have that intention, okay, and go to confession if you haven't already with that intention of receiving the grace and the mercy from our Lord, which stemmed from, remember, when he was lanced in his heart, right? The blood and water came out there from his side, and that was the opening of the symbolism of his love and mercy pouring out. God bless you all, and I hope you join me next week as I return again talking about the faith on Inside Science Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. God bless you, everybody. This is Dr. Anton signing off.